I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who is born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who is to be shepherd of my people Israel.' When Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word.
Thank you, John. When was the last time that you read stars? How many of you go out at night and look up to see if there's stars and you try to figure out what God's saying to you through the stars? Anybody? Anybody that would say it in front of other people? Do you know who were considered the best star readers of ancient times when Jesus was born and before? Do you even care who was best? Well, you should, and here's why. Listen carefully to this part of our text this morning. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." Now, I encourage you to check this out. You know what I've always said, don't just accept. Research. Learn for yourself. But here's something. In the original text, it says magi. And a lot of you have heard magi, right? Do you know what a magi is? Okay. Here we go. This is your seminary lesson for the day. The term magi is the plural form of magoi, or you could also say magi, in the Greek language, which means Zoroastrian priests. That's what it is. Now you think, oh, wait a minute. That's not Christian. That's not Jewish. How can that be? And here's the point. They were neither kings nor wise men, but they ascertained that title because they read the stars. So people said, since they have a skill at doing that, we're going to call them wise men. And so we have it in our text. They interpreted dreams. They understood astrology. They were well known for telling fortunes and preparing daily horoscopes. They were actually considered scholars of their day. wise men. Also keep in mind, Zoroastrianism is one of the oldest religions in the world, and it's still active. Matthew tells this story to ensure the world understands, that Jesus is a fulfillment not only of the Old Testament, but of stories of births, prophecies. You have birth prophecies in the Old Testament. You have it in nearly every faith. And Matthew tells the story this way because what he's telling you is it's not just Jews. It's not just somebody of the Roman descent or Greek descent. These priests traveled a long way to see Jesus because he's the Lord of the world. This makes Matthew's story so amazing because we're not seeing Jews or Romans or Greeks, as I said. These are people who are not even of that area. And yet, they see a star, they interpret that star, and they go to see Jesus. It's kind of like Matthew's way of saying, hey folks, wake up. This isn't just a local story or a story about a particular religion or race. This is a story for everyone. That's the message that Matthew has for us. Isn't that exciting? This isn't just for one particular person, place, whatever. It's for everyone. You won't find a story like this in the other three Gospels. It's not there. It is particular to Matthew. Members of one of the oldest religions on earth come to see Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine this. Because you're probably wondering, well, why would he do that? The Jews are the chosen people. Now, imagine a father giving his son a special toy for his birthday. And the boy likes it a lot. In fact, he likes it so much he goes overboard and he sleeps with it and he plays with it and he won't give it up. He just wants to play with it all the time. Then the father tells him it's time to put it up. But the boy becomes disrespectful to the father. Why should I put it up? I like it. It's mine. I want to enjoy what's mine. About that time, the father would be reminding him, son, you have that toy because I gave it to you. If it's going to be a problem between you and me, I'll take it away. Your love and respect for me are more important than any toy you have. Now imagine you have not Jews, but the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and they're saying, God is ours, just ours. We want him all the time. And we're going to make stories about him, and we're going to tell stories about him, and he's just all about us. And the rest of you can go, well, we won't finish that. God says, you're not sharing. I don't want this coming between us. So I'm sending my son, the Savior, for everyone, so that you won't hold this toy, as you see it, in your hands and just for you. Matthew tells us about the Magi to say, Jesus is not some special toy for the Jewish faith, in particular the Sanhedrin. Jesus is for everyone. If my special affection for the Jewish people is going to be a problem, if it's going to keep you from spreading the word about me, then I'm going to take it away from you. Your love and respect are more important to me. You see, so many had lost their love and respect for God, and they began to love their traditions. They began to love their laws. And they forgot about God. Have we done that? Oftentimes when Christmas rolls around, as we just celebrated, some Christian believers feel the need to flaunt their faith and their beliefs as the scribes and Pharisees did. It is like, God loves us more than you. It even becomes so incredibly ridiculous as to say, you must say Merry Christmas like we do. Not Happy Holidays or Happy Christmas. You must do it our way. I can hear the scribes and Pharisees now. They're saying to the people, you must believe the way we do. Not as Jesus would have you believe. Have we learned nothing from history? Do we not learn when we read the Gospels? Do we take ownership of God? Is that even possible? Do we take ownership of Jesus? Is that even possible? Why aren't we out there just doing what Jesus told us to do? Love your neighbor as yourself. Have we not a shred of tolerance? A shred of love and kindness toward others? Someone please remind me what the teachings of Jesus are on this topic. Did Jesus not say that we are to be tolerant, to be loving, to be kind, to be compassionate? And he didn't say just to each other. Yet all too often we are, well, they're in our church or they're Christian like me. Not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught tolerance. To tolerate means I can disagree with you while still respecting you. One person is a Republican, another Democrat. We put aside our differences, we get along. One person is a Texas Aggie, another a Texas Longhorn. We put aside our differences and we get along. Some of us are ice hockey fans. The rest of us hate ice hockey. I love you anyway. We get along. This is what Jesus taught. Think about it. Did he not heal Romans? Did he not heal Samaritans? And what did his followers say when he healed a Samaritan? Oh my gosh, you can't do that. We hate them. Jesus said, we don't hate anybody. So the Roman comes to Jesus and says, I need you to heal my servant. Jesus says, sure. And they go, oh my gosh, are you nuts? They're Romans. They're our enemy. Jesus says, we have no enemy. Love. Where do we get off being snobs of the faith? Believing we are better or have a special place in heaven that is higher and better than all the others. It reminds me of the old story, you probably heard this story, about the disciples of Christ who died and went to heaven. St. Peter met him at the gate. St. Peter says, we have a special place for you. Follow me. And they go into this huge building. You just can't even imagine how enormous it was, with giant rooms. And they're going down the hallway and they pass the first room. And the disciples of Christ looks in there and all these people are like this. The guy says, who are they? St. Peter says, those are the Methodists. They had such a good time on earth, they're focusing on their faith now. So they go by another room, and everyone's in there dancing and singing and having a good time. And he said, who are they? He says, those are the Baptists. They never had any fun on earth. Now they're up here having a good time. They go by another room, and when they walk by, they hear people singing hymns and swaying. And he says, who are... And St. Peter goes, shh. That's the Church of Christ. They think they're here alone. It's the Church of Christ. You didn't think I... No, never mind. You see, sometimes we want to think we're exclusive. We want to think that, boy, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to have that special room better than anyone else. But God tells us that's not the case. I sent my son to the world, not to the Jews, not to the Romans, not to the Greeks, not to the Zoroastrians, to everyone. This is Epiphany Sunday, for those of you who didn't know. It means the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles as represented by the Magi in Matthew 2, 1 through 12. That's what it means. God's Son was revealed to the world. That's what we're being told by Matthew. He was not manifested in a throne, but in a manger in a stable. He wasn't born and wrapped in robes of gold, but in swaddling cloths. His parents were not royalty, but common everyday people. In other words, Jesus lived a life no better or worse than you and me. We never hear him say in any gospel or anywhere in Scripture, "Out of the way, I'm God's son." Do you? You ever read that? "Hey, I'm really special. Let me introduce myself. I'm the Son of God." He never asked for anything special. He never says, "My beliefs, my faith is better than yours." He does say, "Please listen, let me tell you about my Father." And he tells the disciples when they go into a town, "You know what, if people don't listen to you, shake the dust from your feet." He doesn't say, "Shake the person, slap them around, tell them they have to believe, shake the dust from your feet and move on." He simply teaches what he believes, knows, and has faith that others will listen. No better. In that manger on that day that we have chosen to acknowledge and honor his birth, a star was born. He was born under a star, he was a star, and he continues to be a star to many who choose to believe. I have no doubt the Magi knew and may have even exclaimed, "A star is born. We must go see him." If you've ever seen the movie The Matrix, there is one of the best encouragements to share our faith with others that I've ever seen. And I learn a lot from movies. If you watch, you may learn something too. A lot of times we want to just blow them off, but every once in a while there's little tidbits of wisdom. In the movie The Matrix, the spiritual leader of the ragtag bunch goes by the name of Morpheus. Okay? We got Morpheus, and the young deliverer, who he believes is the promised one, goes by the name of Neo. Needless to say, not everyone, actually very few, share his enthusiasm concerning Neo and the prophecies of his coming to the rescue. Sound familiar? In one scene, as Morpheus is standing before the council and asked to defend his actions, he is confronted by the military antagonist in the movie who says, "Not everyone believes what you believe, Morpheus." Very calmly and boldly, Morpheus replies, "My faith doesn't require that they do. My faith doesn't require that they do. It doesn't require that they believe like me, that they do what I do. My faith is my faith." What a statement. As concerns my faith, I totally agree with what he said. My faith isn't built upon the notion that I have to convince others, just that I need to put the word out. My faith isn't weakened when someone else says they don't believe. Their belief is not my belief. Clearly, the Magi felt the same way, to the point they ignored a king and did not return to report to him. Can you imagine? We hear about how horrible King Herod was, and these guys just went away. He could have hunted them down. He could have killed them. But they left. Why do you think they left? Why do you think they didn't report to Herod? Because they reported to a higher power, God. A star was born. And that star continues to shine in our lives every day. I pray we may seek that star every day and let that light shine on us wherever we are. And may it shine on those we encounter in our faith journey. And may it shine in our new elder and all elders. And on our new officers and officers of the church. And our committee chairs. Let that light shine. Don't let your faith depend on someone else's. Believe. Believe because a star is born. Let us pray. Loving God, all too often we waver. We don't always see it clear what you would have us do, or we question what you would have us do. And oftentimes we're haughty about our faith and we want to put other people on the defensive by claiming to be better. We know we're not, Lord. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. We're all your children. May we listen to what your Son has told us and continues to tell us. Love one another as I have loved you. This is our prayer this day. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.